Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. I do want to apologize. I am a day late. Sometimes things happen, and I don't know. My guest was gracious enough to deal with me as I kind of really put him through the ringer this week. But I do want to mention that D&L Disposal, they should be your first call for your waste management needs. Offer residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up and they will come and take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. And this week, I am honored to introduce the InSinger Performance Modified driver, Brian Doolittle. Brian, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I gotta tell you, I had some things come up yesterday and I had to cancel it. And then I won't lie to you, I had to I was mowing down some Burger King about 10 minutes ago on my drive in because that's how my day went today. So
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. That's okay.
I got to spend it at the doctor's office for my daughter, and then she had to go get blood work that I was not preparing for. So
Yeah, the joy of kids.
I got to ask you, do you ever eat fast food?
No, I don't. I mean, fast food to me is like the occasional trip to a Moe's or a Chipotle if I'm on the road. But no, for the rest of the places, no, I don't. I'm big into my health and
I
fitness.
know you are.
I work out, lift weights all the time. I run, do a lot of weighted hiking. I do jujitsu. I don't want to sacrifice my results in the gym.
No way.
With a little bit of fast food.
So you do ju are you like
Yeah.
what belt are you then?
No, I'm actually
Oh.
really new. I'm only in my second or third month, so I'm still a newbie. I don't pretend I know much because I don't.
You
But
like it?
it's the hardest thing I've ever done. Like the cardiovascular fitness level required to continually do 6 minute rounds, one right after the other, is just insane. I can run a half marathon and it doesn't even compare.
Really?
Yeah, it's the hardest thing I ever did, and I wish I did it 10 years ago.
Yeah, do you do that right in Beaver Dams? Is that?
No, yeah, I'm from Beaver Dams, but no, I have a jiu-jitsu school in Corning that I attend, Bear Hug Jiu-Jitsu on Denison.
So what made you kind of get into that? Do you just I know you're
Yeah.
big into fitness. Did you just say, well, I want to try this out, or?
Well, a big part of it was I needed a new challenge. But I had friends of mine that had been that I knew through the gym through weightlifting, who went on to do jujitsu and were doing it for years, were very successful, and kind of provided some inspiration for me to do it. And a lot of the podcasts I follow and books I read, they're people that practice jujitsu, and it just really resonated with me very well. So I've taken to it, and from the very first class, I've been hooked.
Well, that's I listen to some well I the Joe Rogan Experience is one that I listen
Yeah,
to. So
that's a big one.
he'll talk all the time about just fitness, and I haven't picked up on any of it yet, but I'm listening to it every week.
Well, with Joe Rogan, with Jocko Willink, and a lot of those other guys that are top podcasters too, they talk about like the discipline required for it, and it's real. It's a serious thing.
Yeah, does it ever make you are you gonna does it ever going to make you feel good at the racetrack that if anybody ever stepped to you, you could put them down then? Because I can't imagine there's very many guys that have jujitsu experience.
Oh, probably not, but no, that's not a thought that crosses my mind. No, I aim not to have enemies in the first place.
I know.
Yeah,
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. I don't. Well, I know there's probably weeks you're not happy, but I don't ever remember hearing your name about a fight or anything. So.
never a fight. I've expressed my dissatisfaction with a couple of guys over the years, but only a couple in 20 plus years of doing this. And we're friends now anyway. It's just how it goes. It never gets physical or anything.
Right. Well, I always I come from the Terry Pierce school of thought. The I if you can sit there and we can yell at each other all night, but at the end of the night we better be able to put that aside and have a beer.
Well, I don't drink, but
Well,
I know what you mean.
the
But it's the
sentiment,
same
so.
way. It's the same with how I look at it too. Even in my job, it's the same way.
Right. So what do you do for your job?
My job, I'm the quality manager for a company that builds trains in Elmira called CAF. It's a Spanish company. A lot of the listeners are probably familiar with Alstom and Hornell, a
Yep.
French company that does the same thing. Yeah, so I'm the quality manager. I oversee several projects there from the quality aspect, supplier quality, production line quality. Those things all channel through me, and then I'm the representative in front of the customer for us.
Now, is that a is that job a pain?
No, it's
No.
something different almost every day, and right now it's providing me a lot of opportunity to travel, which I'm taking advantage of. I enjoy that aspect of it because I know it's not forever. Next, I'll be sitting on the production line more often than I'd prefer to, but that's just the job. But
Right.
it's something different every day, and it keeps my interest.
So is that traveling just kind of locally or around the
No,
country or?
no. For the most part, it's down to Maryland. It's not like it's
Wow.
to really nice destinations or anything.
I've
It's
been to
where our
Maryland.
customers are located. Yeah,
I've
I
been to
mean it's
Maryland. Maryland can be great. You can have a lot of
it
fun
can
there.
be, it can be. But when you're into the public transportation industry, you're generally not going to the nicest areas, resort towns, and things like that.
Sure.
But I take any opportunity to get out of the office is a good one.
Yeah. Well, that's really different because I don't think there's hardly any public transportation around where I am.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe
No.
like Steuben County buses or something like that.
Yeah, but even yeah, probably that's about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I think we used to have a couple taxi businesses, but I think they all kind of went out of business. But you know, taxis aren't kind of something you see too much anymore.
No, not with Uber.
Yeah, luckily my job will always be there. So
I hope
because
so.
there's
Hope they don't
a
replace you with AI.
well until AI comes along, AI will come along and get rid of me. But until that happens, I'm good because I there's always going to be older people that can't drive that need to go to doctor's appointments, so I'm safe.
Right.
I'm safe until nobody's working. I'm safe. So I have the point standings pulled up here, Brian. You're currently sitting in what is that, seventh? Yep. So you're in seventh. Is that kind of what you were looking for this year coming into the
No, no,
year?
no, absolutely
No.
not. And we were doing really well up until we had a bad month of July. July was terrible for us, and it's almost every year it goes the same way. We were, I believe, fourth or fifth going into July with a real shot of still being in contention. And then I had a camshaft break in one motor. We lost that night. We pulled the motor out, put another motor in. We could never get that one running right. And in the meantime, we were able to fix my other motor, put that back in the car. And it was just it was a lot of work through July, a lot of poor performances, which knocked us back. I don't care about the points. If I can't win, I don't care. So we'll end up where we do. At this point, we're just trying to get a win before the end of the season. And we've been close. And then as far as the points go, we'll just end up where we end up. I think I'm over 40 out of first, so it's pretty unrealistic at this point for us to climb back into contention for it. At the end of the year, maybe a top five in points would be nice. But again, I don't care. If you can't win, it doesn't really matter to me. I just want to win a race before the season's over.
Right.
I feel like we can do it too.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think if we had 30 lap features at Woodhull, I think one week you might have had it. I know Aiden
Love the
Grover
long
probably
distance
doesn't want to do
races.
that, but
No, I know. I know. I like the long distance races. I wish ours were a little bit longer every week. I was a little disappointed this past Wednesday night show when we had our 50 lapper. That's usually a good race for me, but we broke a shock mount on the left rear on lap 16 or so, and I had climbed from 12th to inside the top five. So again, we were moving. I was making my way around all the crashes that were happening in front of me. Made some good passes. We were really competitive again. I think we probably would have been top five, if not better, by the end of the night. But I just didn't get past lap 16. I had to park it.
so
But we got the
that's what happened
speed.
to
We
you?
just got to hope things don't break.
Right. So that's what happened to you then? You broke the shock tower? Is that
Yeah,
what it's called?
the left rear shock mount broke.
Shock mount.
Yeah.
I guess
I was hoping it was a tire. I pulled into the hot pit hoping it was just a left rear tire. And fortunately, Bill Brewer was there with Colin Wyant, and they looked at it, and a couple other guys came over and said, "It's not a tire, it's a shock mount. There's no saving it." So I limped it back up to my pit, and that was the end of the night.
Yeah, I
But
saw
I
you
was hoping we
go.
could just simply throw a tire on and go back out.
Right. I saw you pull up there and then I saw you go right up the hill through the grass. So I figured something was. Now I guess I don't know. I don't want to be too mean about it. I guess how does that feel with the speed that you had the week before? You know, because like you said, you guys had a ton of motor problems, and it just seemed like one bad thing would happen after another. And then on the second, August starts, and it's like, boy, I finally found something here. You know, this car's moving good. I passed a bunch of cars. I started seventh. I finished second. And then on Wednesday, to have something like that come out that I'm guessing is in your control must suck.
You don't think it's in your control, and but after the fact, you think all these things you could have done differently to have avoided that. I could have bought a different style shock mount, or we could have, done something different to avoid it. But you don't know when something like that's going to break. You don't even think of it until after it's happened. So I try not to get too hung up on mechanical failures like that because you really don't have control over it. I really get upset over myself when we have setup failures, things that we do have control over where we just totally did something wrong and knew better. But as far as part breakages, I don't get hung up too much on it. It can happen to anybody at any point in time, even with brand new parts. I've had brand new out of the box parts break on me. Nothing you can do.
So do that, is that just something that it's just sometimes they break, or is that something where more contact might be
Well, as far as the left rear shock mount goes, the way these cars are set up now, it's so much stress on the left rear shock, the left rear shock mount, the drive shaft too, the rear ends, so much torque going through all these parts. They're working at full extension. They're bouncing around a lot more with the left side panhard versus, what we ran in the past with torsion bars, right side panhard, where the car more glided across the bumps. Now these things are more violently bouncing across the track. It's just so much more stress on the car, on the parts. You can't really do much about it. You have to run that stuff to be competitive. Like I said, you can't control when a part is going to break, even if it's a brand new one, an old part you've had for years. You never know.
Do you like the newer the coils, or would you rather have the bars?
It's taken me a long time to be okay with them. It was not comfortable at first, but I've been racing so many years with torsion bars and right side panhards, and the cars are more flat through the corners, not bouncing. Now you've got to drive these new modified setups like you're angry at the car all the time. You got to really power them through the corner and just not worry about bouncing or anything like that. It took me a long time to get used to these new setups. I think that now we've got it pretty well understood, and I've had some good help from other guys along the way, like Billy Van Pelt's been helping me out quite a bit, as he is with a lot of other drivers. And I think we're really coming around. But yeah, like I said, I raced for nearly 20 years with torsion bar setups, so it took me a long time to get used to these new cars.
Yeah. Do you so you got started in trucks, right? Is that
Back in
or
2002, Black Rock Speedway, now it's called Outlaw. Black Rock ran a pro truck division as V8 rear wheel drive, similar to a hobby stock, street stock kind of deal, with a truck body. Yeah, I
so
ran those for 2 years.
almost like Ken Peoples's.
Yeah, except Ken was driving as a super stock,
Oh, okay.
and I didn't know anything about the cars back then. I didn't work on them. I was still in high school, so I can't tell you the differences between the pro truck versus Ken Peoples' super stock truck.
Right.
Probably way different. I couldn't really tell you, but I took to it pretty quickly. And then after 2 years of that, I ran super stocks at Black Rock for a season, did really well, and then right into modifieds from 2006 on.
So how come you went to Woodhull? I mean, don't take that the wrong way. I love
No.
seeing you every week. I just
Well,
I'm wondering.
I always wanted to race at Woodhull because that's where I grew up watching my father race Saturday nights in the modifieds. But I was content racing Black Rock. Dean Hoag owned the track for several years while I was racing there. I raced there in modifieds 2006, 7, and 8. But then for 2009, he cut the modifieds from the schedule. And I needed a place to race. So it just made sense at that point that I'd start racing Saturday nights at Woodhull. My father had pretty much stopped racing at that point, turned the car over to me. He was happy retiring from driving and just working on the car and doing the motors for me. So from 2009 onwards, I've been full-time racing at Woodhaw with a few handfuls of experience of showings at Outlaw since then under different management.
Does Saturday nights make it a little easier?
Yeah, by far. When you're working, if I work a Monday through Friday job, 8 to 5, like most people. And it's really difficult to prepare the car and get yourself over to an Outlaw on a Friday night. Saturday, way easier. We start our day around 10 a.m., just finishing up tire prep and just final preparations, load the car around 2 o'clock, and then we can hit the road and be at Woodhull by 4:30 or so. But yeah, if I were to race Fridays, I'd have to rely on my father or somebody else to load the car, to do everything, to load all the tools, spare parts into the back of the truck. And it's not really a realistic expectation for him to do at this point. I have to do all that on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, and it just, I always figured it gives you a little more time in case something goes haywire. I know drivers don't want to think about that, but sometimes, you never know. Saturday morning or Friday nights come around and something doesn't work right on the car, then you're really pressing to get it fixed. So, one thing I wanted to add, did you see that wreck that Kyle Leach was in the Sportsman
I saw the
2 weeks
aftermath. I
ago?
didn't actually see it in real time.
So
No.
have you ever been, have you ever wadded one up like that?
I don't remember exactly what was damaged. Did he go over?
Oh no, but it was,
No.
I don't know either. I don't know nothing about a
Yeah,
lot of,
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I saw his car was damaged quite heavily, but I don't know how it happened. I've been in some pretty scary ones, but never gone over, never had any serious fire. Yeah, I've been pretty lucky with avoiding some big crashes. One of my bigger ones was actually at Woodhull, when I had a drive shaft break in turn three. And one of the competitors behind me just wasn't able to react and drove right into the back of me, and it destroyed my car. But I've never had a car go over, catch on fire, anything like that. Never had to climb into the ambulance. I think Kyle came off the track in the ambulance,
yeah.
but I've been lucky to have avoided all those things.
I'd have to imagine that a fire is probably the worst nightmare.
Would think so.
I do too. Well, I guess what I want to know is kind of I don't think you'll take offense to this. You're kind of a lower budget team too. Just when you have that much damage, kind of what do you what happens then? Are you just looking at it going, "Oh my God, what are we gonna do?" Or do you just get to work and
I think we're upset when it happens. Saturday night we're upset, but Sunday morning we're working on the other car, getting that one ready. I've got two cars. It's race ready minus a motor. So if we had to, it's 2 or 3 days away from being able to hit the track. It's not good when you totally wad up a race car, but I'm just upset for that first night, and then the next day we're focused on the next weekend. You can't dwell on things too much. Like I said
right.
about the mechanical failures, if you dwell on something like that, you're never going to get ahead. Same with a crash. You just got to move on.
Well, that and I've always said that they're going to happen. I mean, they
It's
suck, but
racing. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
and
racing.
it is. And that I don't even know if there was anybody to blame in that deal. It's almost kind of the same deal. I think somebody lost power, and Carter Crooker got stacked up behind him, the car that lost power. And then here came Kyle Leach, just right and nowhere to go between that and the wall. And, just.
Well, that's one thing that people don't understand when you're on the racetrack and somebody does lose power or is going that much slower in front of you. The closing rate is so extreme, especially in the modifieds. You don't even realize it until you're already on top of them. So there's almost no reacting to something like that. It
Right.
just pure luck if you're going to get involved in an accident like that or not.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And that guy sitting there has got to feel awful, because you're sitting there just waiting to get hit, and you guys can't turn around at all. You guys are pretty well locked in, so.
When you lose power, when you're the car that loses power, it feels like an eternity until somebody hits you. But when you're closing in on somebody who's lost power, it's a split second. You can't even react.
Right. Have you ever been the you said you've been the car that
Yeah,
lost the
I've been
drive
the guy
shaft,
that's
right?
been hit before.
So what do you do? So when you're go was it on the front stretch or the back stretch?
It was in turn three. So as I broke the drive shaft going into turn three, which is actually, probably our fastest part of the racetrack. And then I coasted through three going into four, and that's when the guy got into me.
So what do
It
you,
was.
well, I imagine going through the corner, you're kind of just trying to steer as well as you can.
Yeah,
I
because
was.
you lose power steering in the modifieds, that's a big deal. And you're trying to also hold your line and hope that everybody sees you and just gets around you. You don't want to do something erratic and dive for the infield. I see that sometimes that's the absolute wrong thing to do, or to make a hard right-hand turn to try to get off the track. Again, that's the wrong thing if somebody's running the high line. You just need to stay where you're at, hope everybody gets around you. You'll just make a bigger mess by trying to go one way or the other.
I imagine racing somewhere like Woodhull too is probably a little easier for you guys, just motor wise too, so that just
As far as our competitiveness, yeah,
yeah.
my father builds our motors for me. I've got two really strong motors he's built for me now. But if I were to take these up to like an Outlaw or someplace where people are buying $60,000 professionally built engines and dyno tuned and everything, we don't really stand much of a chance. But at Woodhull, Woodhull is such a unique track that it equalizes a lot of things, including money. The driver can make the biggest difference at Woodhull versus a lot of other tracks.
Yeah,
So yeah,
I've always said that's my favorite thing about it. You can have somebody like yourself or Kyle Leach, and you can come and run in the top five. You can come and be running down Eden Grover for the win, and that's just not something you're going to see most places. And that's, when you watch when the short track Super Series came, you had, now I don't know the money wise or anything, but you had Dylan Dewart racing side by side with Stuart Friesen, and Friesen had top of the line everything. I don't know about Dylan or not, but
No, he had good stuff for sure. Yeah, him and Josh Nobrega had a great run that same year, I believe. Donnie Lawson has run really well with them. Yeah, the best of Woodhull can run with the best of anybody at Woodhull. But then you've seen a lot of guys like even Billy Van Pelt, as good as he was everywhere he went, he won championships other places than just Woodhull. He sometimes didn't qualify for the short track Super Series. It wasn't because he lacked for talent. It was because the other guys had all the right budget, the right shock packages, bigger teams, bigger help. It's tough to compete at that level at those something like that. Nobody would stand a chance from Woodhull, but Woodhull is an equalizer for sure.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about it is anybody can hop in there and really stand a good chance. Have you ever thought about driving anything other than a modified? I can't remember if I asked you that the first time around or
Yeah,
not.
we've talked about it before. I'd give consideration to it. I've driven other things before, like a 600 cc micro sprint. I ran one of those once, won the heat and feature. I filled in for a guy, so I filled in on a Friday night track and won a heat and feature in those things. Yeah, I'd race basically anything. I don't know. I've given consideration to it, but also at the same time, I haven't had the opportunities yet. If opportunities would present themselves, sure, I'd do it.
Would you ever hop into like a full-blown sprint car, like a 410?
I would. I don't like to watch the sprint cars.
They're
Just
scary.
they're. I don't care about the scariness factor. They're very fast. They're very fast, but you'd be surprised at how much faster it feels to watch versus to drive. When I watched modifieds at Woodhull or Outlaw, I think that's ridiculously fast. I can't do that.
Me
And then I
too.
get in the car and I turn a faster lap time. Like it feels much slower when you're actually in the car than what it looks like. But with the sprint cars, it's as far as a spectator goes, I don't have much interest in them because it's so easy to lose track of who is where, because there's such a variable in the speed from first place to last place. They're lapping guys after only a few laps. The dust they kick up, the noise. As far as climbing behind the wheel of one, I'd definitely try it. If the opportunity presented itself, I'm not going to go and buy one myself.
So
But yeah, if
you would
somebody
ne
asked me to, I definitely would.
right. So you would never trade in the modified for something else.
I don't think so. I thought about getting a sportsman from time to time just to be able to travel more and be competitive anywhere we go. but it's really not a priority. Priority right now is just compete Saturday nights at Woodhall.
Well, a little bit of technical difficulties. If you listen to this podcast, it seems like every week at least I get one. I'm getting a little bit better at fighting through them. So hopefully I hit pause there so I don't have to do too much editing. But I think you were talking about how you dab thought about going to a sportsman, just so you could
Just
be competitive anywhere, but.
that's a just something to stay within the same type of car because it makes things simple. We already have the spare parts and everything and the knowledge. Don't have to learn anything new. But you can be competitive and have fun anywhere. But it's not a priority. Like I think I said my priority is Saturday nights at Woodhall. And that's probably going to stay the same for the near future, the next couple of years.
Right. So you never had any interest in something full fender, maybe a late model or a street stock or something?
Not myself. No, if an opportunity presented itself, I would entertain it, like to run Outlaw or something like that, or a one-off show like the 100 at Woodhall, or if Outlaw still runs the 100, that'd be fun. But I'm not going to go buy one for myself. I think my full fender days are over after 2 years in the trucks and one in the super stocks.
Yeah, it seems like there's a real separation there between full fender guys and open wheel guys.
There is. It's really funny. When I ran trucks and super stocks, I was doing pretty well with it and it felt natural. But then my very first practice session in a modified, it felt like the car just drove itself. It was just so much more natural for me than I even realized.
Right.
So
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time climbing back full time into a full fendered stock car.
Right. Do you want to run the Woodhall 100 if the opportunity presented itself?
If somebody approached me, I definitely would. Or if somebody wants to discuss what I can bring to the table, I'd like to do it. But I'd also like to see that race be a straight 100 laps. If you had to change tires or something at the halfway point, you had to go to the rear like it used to be,
So is
or you
that,
run the whole thing.
do you know much about them? Could they make it a full 100 lap on fuel? Or would you have to stop to fuel anyway?
I believe they would probably have to do a stop for fuel.
So you're saying only do fuel.
That race has had a that race has had a few different format changes since its inception. Did I lose you again? You there?
No, I'm here.
No, yeah, like I said, that race has had a few different changes since its inception, so I can't remember if it was ever a straight 100 laps. But I do know that there's a time where they would stop, and if you had to do anything to your car, you'd have to go to the rear. Now I think that they just have a total do whatever you want and you maintain your position,
I think
something like
it's
that.
no, it's oh, I'm trying to remember from last year.
But anyway, if somebody came to me with a competitive car, I'd definitely entertain it, but it's not a top of my list for priorities. I do wish we had more modified races at the end of the year at Woodhall.
Yeah, me too.
I'll probably make an appearance or two at Outlaw just to get some more races in before the winter break. But as far as traveling other places, I'm not going to take advantage of those nights off to go to Afton or any other track like that. Just too far.
Right. Did you were you happy to kind of have the week off after Wednesday night?
Yeah, that was a good change to the schedule for sure. It was too much for us in the past. It's only my father and I for our team. So it's hard to do three races in a 7 day period. All the maintenance that's required on the cars, it's and the tire preparation, it's just too much for us. So I was happy to have a night off.
Well, that's what I was talking to somebody and the crate sportsman car count really wasn't great on Saturday. And I said, you know, that it's hard when you ask these guys to race 7 days, 3 times in 7 days. And then it was my bright idea, or I think it was mine or Terry's, I don't know, to give the modifieds the day off because, you know, you guys are running Saturday, Wednesday. Not even put one thought into the poor sportsman guys that are doing the same thing. So.
Yeah, I saw the car count was really down. It's unfortunate. Some of those guys probably were racing at Outlaw too, which would make it even more difficult being four races in 7 days. Yeah, it's asking quite a bit.
That's what Kenny Peoples, Tim Gill, Quentin Buchanan, they all did, and that's
Right.
whew. That's
Yeah.
four races in 7 days.
Yeah.
You're pretty much
And
full time.
Kenny's got a lot of help to get the car ready with his family. I know that Tim and Quentin, not so much that kind of help. So yeah, it's tough asking a small team to be able to turn around in just a couple of days to
It
do
is.
back to back Friday, Saturday.
It is, and I don't know how many I don't know how many big budget sportsman teams we have, really. I mean,
I don't consider any.
yeah, right. Even, most of the guys at Woodhull are pretty, I
Yeah.
think everybody'd admit it, we're not the
Well, that is one thing that's pretty neat still about Woodhull is that we're one of the only tracks around where it's regular people racing. There's not a ton of money, even in the modifieds. There's not a ton of money really. Like you go to a bigger track, even Outlaw, and there's a lot more money behind a lot of other guys. Woodhull, it's still regular people racing. That's one of the things that's still nice about it.
Right. Well, I mean, you look, well, I don't know. Let me go look through the point standings right now. I mean, you got Carter Crooker. I mean, he's got his own trucking company. Aiden Grover, I'm not really sure what he does. I'll have to have him on and ask him. Dayton Brewer, that's a family owned. Herbie Wright. I mean, Russell Morseman, he's an engineer, but that's pretty much how everybody is. There's not somebody there that's just driving full time,
Yeah, you don't have like a Halmar behind somebody or Matt Shepard or anybody like that. It's regular people for the most part.
I guess I never really looked at it that way. That's kind of a neat way to look at
Yeah.
it.
It's always
Well,
been like that. It's a small community at Woodhull Raceway.
yeah, and they all seem to come together pretty good too, so.
Yeah, for sure. Even though we have our differences, if somebody has trouble, everybody's always there to help one another.
So when you go up, so say you get a flat tire, do you worry about who's going to help you out, or do you kind of know that you got guys up there, whether it's Bill or Colin or whoever to.
Well, normally on Saturday nights, I've got Scott and Scott races hot. He'll either have family or he'll have his friends helping him too, and those guys will do the hot pits for me. And then when Scott's out, I'll do the hot pit with his crew also for him. But on a one-off show where hobby stocks weren't on the card, like Wednesday night, I didn't really have anybody there. But I do know that there's people in the hot pit that will help me if I need it. So in that instance, I knew Bill Brewer would be there and Colin would be there, so I went to find them, and Bill stands out with a bright pink Dayton Brewer shirt that he always wears, and I pulled right up to him. He took a look at it and said it was a shock mount that was busted. Nothing they could do about it. Otherwise, they would have thrown a tire on and then gone and taken one from my pit, probably to in case Dayton needed one. But everybody comes together and helps each other like that when necessary.
Yeah, it's got to make it a lot easier too with with such a small team. Like you said, it's just you and your dad, and you're it'd be really tough to do it, without that.
Well, my father's 75 years old now, and he gets around with a cane. He sits in the grandstand more often than not now, unless I'm really having issues with the motor, for example. Between heat and feature, he'll come help me. But he's not going to be in the hot pit in case I need something during the race. So that's why it's important to rely on other people like Scott Brown or whoever he brings with him, or anybody else that may be down there. Mike Buchanan's always down there too.
So
Phone sometime.
how'd you get hooked up with Scott? Did he you guys just park next to each other and get talking and just worked out that way or?
His son Connor Brown and I have been friends for quite a few years, and then eventually when Scott got into the hobby stocks, my father started building motors for him. So we've just been kind of parking next to each other, helping each other out for all these years now.
What do you think of the hobby stocks?
It's an interesting class. I'd like to see their numbers up like they were a couple years ago, getting 20 some cars or so. I think it should be getting that many cars again, but I think they've been down to like 11 or 12 lately, which is pretty
Well,
sad to see.
they had 17 on Saturday.
Well, that's good. That's good. Hopefully it stays that way. I think it's a really good class.
I love it. This is what I said, Woodhull in the area, and I'm, is not the most affluent area. We're not We don't have billionaires that are just throwing money left and right, and it's kind of cool for your regular guy that works down at the lumber mill to be able to go buy a big V8 and be able to race it and not have to spend a ton of money on it. I love that class. I think they might beat and bang a little more than I like, but
Yeah, it's important to have affordable classes like that. Not everybody can race modified or even a crit. Yeah, so it's a real good class. And as far as the beating and banging, I don't think it's always intentional. Just a consequence of how the cars are handling, and they don't have steering quickeners, so it's probably three whole turns from lock to lock. Difficult to manage that through the corners, the tight corners of Woodhull.
Well, that they I've tried to I've driven not on a racetrack, but I've driven those big boats, and they're pretty tough to sometimes you're tough to get to do what you want, and then you're on little DOT tires and you're trying to haul ass, and sometimes you
But
just end up going somewhere you don't mean to.
that's the fun, and those tires are another equalizer too.
I think it because I just think it's so funny because what was it probably last year maybe the year before the Crown Vic class really started to get big, and I'm kind of looking at it going, I think we already do that. I mean, right? Essentially, that's pretty much the main. But I don't know.
No, it's great.
Yeah, no interest in doing one of them either, huh?
Not really. No, not none at all. None at all.
No, you're pretty much stuck with your modified, huh?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Are you learning from your dad about how to build these motors?
Not really. No, that's
Uh-oh.
one thing I've never picked up on. I kind of blame the job. Like, my job is kind of in the way of me learning a lot of things, and it always has been, because somebody has to work to pay the bills on the race car. My
Sure.
father's retired. He does all the majority of the work on it while I'm at work. So even if I stop by after work, he's already done for the day. So these last couple weeks, I've been off work on vacation, and our factory annual shut down for a week. So I've been a little more hands-on with the car, but still, you can't learn everything in a 2 week period. I just pick up bits and pieces as we go and do the majority of my learning on Saturdays.
Right. So why is your factory shut down? Is it just every year
It's
you
just
do
an
it?
annual factory shutdown. Give everybody a break. Yeah, that's all it is.
Really, that's kind of nice. Right? You get at least it's in the summer, at least it's not in the winter.
Yeah, and then I always take a vacation week, either before it or after, so I get 2 weeks off.
Good
And it
deal.
just so happens it always falls around our midweek race too. So that's a big deal for us too, because again, two or three races in a 7 day period, I can be there to help prep the car for it.
Right. Yeah, that's I can't imagine what you guys go through, even just cleaning them. And
It's a
that
full day job. My father still does all the pressure washing and all that stuff. Maybe he enjoys it, I don't know. But I'd rather he does it than me.
Well, you
It's
know
just
what?
boring, monotonous work.
I can tell you one thing. When I first got into demolition derbies, and I was making good money, and then I had the baby. I said, well, you know what? I think I'm going to take a step back, and I don't know if I want to spend the money on doing that anymore. And I won't have the time to work on them. And my dad said, well, I'll find the time to work on them. And now he works on them all the time. And so I think it's that older generation just really loves to do that stuff, and that's what they want to do. And they've spent what 60, 70 years doing it, so that's the way they want.
Well, my father's been racing since he was in his 20s, building motors the whole time too, four cylinder modifieds, sportsman modifieds back before there were crates, 320 modifieds, small block modifieds. He's raced all of those, done all the motors the whole way for himself. And then he ran a business doing it for quite a few years too, after he retired from his BOCES job. So now, he, like you said, he's always put in 60, 80 hours work on a race car during the week, and now he's doing that with my car. I
Right.
don't know.
So when you,
I definitely couldn't do it.
right. So when you drive from seventh to second, does he say anything to you? Does he say, well, look how that motor worked, or yeah, that was a good power plant you had under you, or does he just kind of say good job, and you're kind of sitting there thinking, boy, you got that thing figured out.
Well, this past time when we went 7th to 2nd, that was a little bit unusual or unique, I should say, because we had just put that motor back in the car with a camshaft that we had no idea how it was going to perform, because we had just put the motor back together from our primary camshaft braking. So he was just he was very excited over that, said that we should have had that camshaft in all along. I don't know, maybe. Maybe yes, maybe I would have won with the other one. I don't, it's hard to say. But yeah, he is happy to see that we made it through the night. We ended up better than we expected, I think. And the car was real strong Wednesday night, which showed me that it wasn't just a fluke that we were that good the previous Saturday. So now we're really excited to get back on the track these next 4 weekends, 4 or 5 weekends till the season's over at Woodhull at least. Because we know that we have a car that's handling really well, it's got good power. Usually Augusts are pretty good for us. It's the month we usually make up a lot of ground because we dig a big hole in July, as we've done this year. So yeah, hopefully things stick together, and I get some good draws through the gate for good heat race starting positions, some good redraws for the feature, and I can make things a little easier on myself than going from 6th, 7th to 1st or 2nd. Be nice to start on a front row again.
Well, I'm
With
not
what
gonna
we
lie to
have,
you.
I think we'd have a good chance.
I'm looking through your starts right now. 12th, 7th, 9th, 15th. Then you started 5th, and then you started 3rd, 8th. You haven't had good starting position for a lot of the
Not
year.
really. Yeah, just get let me start in the top five. That'll give us.
Right. Yeah, I see you started 3rd once, but we won't count that.
I don't remember it, but I'm sure I did.
That was
Yep.
back
I
on
usually
June.
just remember the bad starting positions.
Yeah. Well, that's probably how most guys are, It seem probably
Right.
seems like every week you're starting 10th, 12th. So
Yeah.
what'd you think on Wednesday when you knew you had a great car and then you drew 12th? Or you just
I wasn't concerned. I think well, you interviewed me there on the front stretch after I drew the number. I didn't care what number I drew. First, second, third would be nice, but a 50-lap race, any place on that track is a good starting spot, especially knowing that there's going to be cars braking, going to be crashes. The track is going to change so much over the course of 50 laps, too. It doesn't matter where you start, as long as you stay on that lead lap and you start moving forward, you have a chance to be there at the end. And just unfortunately, we weren't. We broke that shock mount, and that was the end of the night early on. But
As we kind of start to kind of wrap this thing up, just what's it kind of mean to you to run with your dad's engines under you? I mean, you've got to be, I'd say one of the only teams in the Northeast that even builds your own motors, and then to have it built by your dad's a pretty, that's pretty neat.
yeah, it's definitely unique. I can't think of anybody else that has their motors being built in-house by a family member from start to finish like that. It feels good when we get a good result with something that he's built up against something that's professionally built by one of the big names. And now you've got guys who are buying motors for tens of thousands of dollars, $50,000, $60,000. From Pro Power, Mullins, Clements, all these big name places all around the country. And we're right there with them. So that is a good feeling when I can see it going together in the back room at our one car garage and then put it in a car and go out there and compete against those things. It's a unique experience for sure. It's definitely interesting and it makes a good finish, like a second place the other night, feel extra rewarding knowing that. We didn't rely on anybody else to get to that point. Everything in that motor was built in my shop by my father, was assembled by him at least.
Right.
I buy good components. He saves me a lot of money on the labor and the engineering of these things, so I can put that money savings towards good components. Yeah.
So you said that he does a lot of the work when you're at work. So how do you guys determine what setup you guys are going to go with?
Well, the setups on these cars are a little tricky. So currently we're running coilover setups with short radius rods, left side panhard. Like I said earlier in the interview, totally different than what we used to run. The setup window on these things, meaning like the margin of error for a good performance window, is so narrow if you miss one thing, you're totally out to lunch. You're going to have a bad time. Whereas the old setups of the torsion bars, they were way more forgiving. You could be way out to lunch and you could be good night.
Right.
So we've recruit some good help, get some good feedback and information from shock manufacturers, other racers, and such chassis manufacturers. And now we've got a good setup that seems to be working. The track conditions have been great for us. Who knows if they go back to a dry slick track, we might have to start exploring other options, or maybe this will work. You don't really know until the night of, but. Yeah, I think right now we've got a setup right now that's competitive at anything Woodhull has to offer us anytime we pull up there on a Saturday night.
Right. I hope really nothing in the track changes. I mean,
Me too. It's
I
been really good, competitive, multi-lane. The dust has been down. The traction has been pretty good. Speeds have been good. I hope we've been putting on a good show in all
yeah.
classes. Yeah, so whatever they've been doing, just keep doing it.
That's what I said too. You know, it's always smooth. I mean, I think the only issue Woodhull's had all year is what 1 week we had bad dust. I mean, and that, you know,
And
but
if you can get through a whole season with only one dusty night, that's good.
right. And in the one weekend where the pump broke, that weekend, I think it was the night the ESS were there. That night it started to come apart in the heats, but then it, you know, they put water on it and they did whatever they had to, and it seemed to work better for the future, at least in my point of view. You know, it didn't, it wasn't a ruddy mess like I thought it was going to turn into.
No, I know that on Saturday nights I see Scott Drake out there working the track intermission, and they've been doing a real good job, I think, on the track. Probably doesn't need to be so wet early on in the night for our heat races. Maybe give us a little less water to work in before the first races. But for the features, it's been really a good track.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. I don't know. It's one of the only tracks I've been to this year where I shouldn't say that. It's one of the only tracks that I don't remember seeing anything negative about this year. You know, I don't, and I've always said, you know, give tracks leeway, because I can tell you right now, a track promoter does not want a one lane racetrack. You know, that's not what anybody wants. So I always said, give them leeway and allow them a couple. You know, everybody's going to have a bad night out, but I don't know if Woodhull has had a bad night out track wise anyway. Just my opinion.
I've always said through the years too that the track is not always going to be good, but we all have to race on the same surface, whether it's dusty, slick, wet, heavy, rough. We all have to race on the same track. So I get a little critical of competitors when they start bad mouthing the track, especially online, because that's just not good for anybody, your own image plus the tracks. Still see it all the time, but I've always told people, watch what you say. Don't get caught up in that because it's negative for our race program, our tracks and everything. We all got to race on the same track. Just set your car up accordingly. Go out there and race clean. Do the best you can, no matter what it is.
Yeah,
I
I've
saw the
Go ahead, Brian.
conditions at Outlaw deal, and there were a lot of people that were saying negative things online. So it's right back to the same thing. People are just creating trouble online, and I'm not big on talking negative about anything or anybody on the internet like that. It's not good for racing. And local grassroots racing needs all the help it can get at this point.
I read a I wish I knew the name of it, but I read a really good article. I wish I could tell you the author, but I can't off the top of my head. And it was pretty much how dirt track racing's at a crossroads, where right now the money that you guys have to spend, well, anybody, you know, whether it's you guys for the cars, whether it's the fans to come, and then the cost to put on a racetrack and own it, it really put into light, you know, just kind of how, from every point of view, everything's getting more expensive, and it's probably not going to change, you know. And
Yeah, that's unfortunate when you look at the modifieds tires, whether they're American Racers or Hoosiers, are over $250 each now. Fuel is $15 a gallon, and that hasn't seen a price increase for a couple of years, so it's probably due for one, unfortunately. and the
Brian, you
parts.
can't put that out there.
Yeah, don't let Terry and Nikki hear that. But all the parts on a car, you can't buy a car under $100. And it all adds up. Rear ends $4,000, transmission $2,000, steering box $2,000. It's getting to be unreasonable for regular people to be able to do it. And the unfortunate thing is that these manufacturers and the tire companies, the chassis manufacturers, they don't care. They don't care if I
Right.
can't race on a Saturday night or a Friday night. They care that like a Matt Sheppard or one of those people at that level, they'll be buying four or six cars a year complete from them. That's all they care about. They don't care if I can, buy a couple parts from them to make it to Woodhall Saturday nights, or if
Right.
I can afford to buy six or eight tires for a year. They don't care about that. So it is unfortunate because that's how we're going to lose the sport, and or at
Exactly.
least we'll lose the local Friday, Saturday night racetracks. I'm afraid that if it keeps going this way, all we'll have are rich teams that race series races. 10 years from now, I think local racing is going to look a lot different than it does currently, unless something dramatic changes.
Right. So this is I it's just kicking the little guy, you know. And I always said, one thing to look at too is those are the guys that bring, you get the little guys are the ones you need in the sport, I think. Because you look at so t say we talked about Brett Dale in the Short Track Super Series, when he started that thing, oh boy, when he started 10 years ago, 15.
At least, yeah, 10-15, yeah.
And he'd bring what 50 cars,
Yeah.
but that was back when Bob from the lumber mill could,
Yeah.
he could put together a modified and be somewhat competitive, and
Yeah.
that's tough
Yeah.
nowadays,
Yeah, well, I can't speak for Brett, but I believe the original intent of the Short Track Super Series was for the regular guys, the Friday, Saturday night guys, to be able to travel, run some bigger money shows, have some fun going to new racetracks. And it worked really well for a number of years, until maybe the last 10 years or so. They're such big races now. The series pays so much. It's become maybe a competitor to the dirt series, or at least on par with the dirt series. So now you have those same guys chasing both of them. And if I were to show up to a Port Royal or one of the tracks where they run the Short Track Super Series, chances are I'm not even going to get in. So why should I? Why should I try? And it's really unfortunate because to me, that goes against the original intent of something like that. I know we've tried it in the past too, before you were involved in racing. There was the T3 series. I
Yep.
was too young to follow it, but you may remember it. It hit a few of the local tracks, and it was the Friday, Saturday night guys from Woodhall, from Outlaw, for Black Rock, or maybe Afton, or some of the tracks like that. And it was a good idea. It just didn't last a very long time. But it would
No.
be nice to see something like the original T3 series, or the original intent to the Short Track Super Series, something for the regular guys, that isn't hogged by like a Stuart Friesen or a Matt Sheppard or Matt Williamson, the top guys like that. Like, give the rest of us a chance.
Right. So I've always wondered, because I agree with you that was the original intent, but I almost wonder once you start paying good money,
Yeah.
because
And that's a good point too, because as I don't care what we race for. I know at Woodhall we're paying something around $2,000 to win, depending on the night. I don't care. I raced there for $1,000 to win for many years, and before that, when I was racing at Black Rock, it was $750 to win. Nobody cares if maybe you don't need to offer $10,000 to win, so you can give the other guys a chance, or give somebody like me to entice me to come to a different track, like an Afton or a Thunder Mountain or something like that. It's a little bit further to go, but I'm not going to go there if I'm not going to have a chance to get in the show, or if the incentive isn't enough.
Have you ever been to Afton or Thunder
No,
Mountain?
I've driven by it, but I've never been on the track.
I wonder if that is that a big horsepower track?
I don't think so.
I
No,
don't
I
either,
don't think it is.
just
No.
by looking at the size of it, but
Yeah, I know that they're attracting quite a few modifieds too. They're getting more than full fields, so they're doing something right. I like to try racing there and other places. Thunder Mountain was always appealing to me, but now they've gone to the dirt rules, Hoosier tires, which is fine, but that's just a different tire manufacturer I need to stock up on. And
Extra
I've got
expense.
American Racer tires, and I would need to go buy 16 Hoosier tires.
And is that
It's
how
just not
much you go
feasible.
through in
So,
a night?
but I'd
16?
like to get out to some other places.
Right. Is that how many
Sorry,
tires?
what?
Is that how many tires you go through in a night? 16?
No, not
No.
at all. No.
Oh,
But you
okay.
need to have a set on the car of four. You need to have your four spare. And then if you're racing there weekly, you need to have more, weekly, you'll need to have more in the garage. So
Right.
it adds up pretty quickly.
So
Yeah.
how many
But
tires
I
you
would
go
like to
through?
go other. How many tires do we go through?
Yeah, in a week.
Well, if track conditions are good, if I don't get a flat, or if I don't burn off a set of rear tires, we can usually get three features out of a set of rear tires. And then I relegate those to heat race tires for a couple more weeks after that. So I really extend my tires to last me maybe even up to 2 months before I throw them away or give them away. Through the course of a season, racing Woodhull alone, I'll buy maybe 12 to 16 tires through the season.
Now,
I've got some good
is that what most is that what
sponsors that help
most
me out with them. Sorry, what?
I was just gonna say, is that what most of you guys do, or do you
I think,
or is there
yeah,
people buying new?
there are people that buy new more frequently, and it is an advantage. But tires are $250 plus each now, so it's just not feasible for me to buy them weekly. I do have some good help from some good sponsors that have helped me a lot with the cost of tires this season. But you know, it just doesn't make sense to put new on every week.
Right.
As we get through the last month of the season, though, I'll probably put on a new set here real soon, and maybe even before the end of the season, another set. Just because, like I said, the goal is we got to win a race. That's the ultimate objective. Let's get a win before the end of the season. And at this point, I really don't even care what it costs.
I always said when the number seven, actually, I've always said when oh man, now I was gonna say your sponsors, but now I'm blanking on them. I say them all the time. Now I can't. When the Easy Does That Automotive, John Mills Electric, number seven, parks
Yeah.
in Victory Lane, the whole place will burn right down because of just because of the raw emotion of everybody being happy to see you win. Because you're one of the nicest guys in my opinion, and I know a lot of people agree with me and want to see you finally park that thing on the front stretch. Really?
Hey, where'd
Keep
you lose
going.
me?
No, but back when I said, that you would, the place would burn down.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that a lot of the spectators would really like that win too, just as much as I would. Because when I walk through stands, I have everybody coming up to me saying hello, people that I don't know personally. They know me because they see my name on my suits, they see my sponsors. And everybody's always real pleasant, nice, wants to strike up a conversation. And the people do remember, like the previous week, they'll say, "Hey, you did great last week. Okay, I don't know who you are, but thank you. I appreciate your support." It's to get over to grandstand sometimes and just have that fan interaction. So I'm hoping that when we do get it in Victory Lane, I'll hear a lot of cheers from down on the track when you're interviewing me, and then a lot of people will come see me and take photos when I pull up around back.
I hope so. I can't wait for that day.
Yeah.
Well, I've kept you probably long enough here. Why don't you just go through the people that help you out here? I know it takes a lot of people to keep a modified going. So before I let you go, why don't you just give some flowers to them people?
Yeah, well, I appreciate all the support from family and friends. My father's there working on my car with me every day, every Saturday. Then I've got a great group of sponsors, John Mills Electric, you mentioned, Easy Does That Automotive too. They've been with me for years. Gary Hotelling, Drywall, he's a good friend, and he's been with me now for a couple of years. I picked up a Lauer season to help me out, guy. And then also my cousin's pub in Watkins Glen, Roosterfish.
All right, well, Brian, I appreciate you hopping on with me here tonight. Me
Yeah,
do.
very good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. You have a good night. I'll see you Saturday.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. All right. Got him out of there. Just me now. I do want to just remind everybody that D&L Disposal, they should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer a regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they'll take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. And I do want to mention too that I cannot wait for this Saturday night. Modifieds back in action, both InSinger Performance Modifieds and IMCA Modifieds. So that will be a great show coming up here in a couple of days. Yeah, I hope that y'all listen through the whole thing. If you are a sprint car guy, for some chance you hear this, we're working on the 305 registration for September 12th and 13th. Bear with us, a little bit new for us in that venture. So I guess I thank you all for listening to me, and until next week, everybody have a good week.